Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm your host, Katie Hake. I'm a registered dietitian, certified personal trainer, and my goal is to help you stop quantifying and start living. On today's episode, we're going to talk about how alcohol can fit into this new intuitive eating lifestyle approach that you're taking with food. If you choose to drink alcohol in social settings or even just at home, I'm going to give you some solid tips and takeaways to find more of this balance in your life. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that subscribe button. That way you get updated episodes each week. We release a combination of solo episodes as well as some interviews with guests on experts in all different fields regarding nutrition, fitness, health, lifestyle, all the things in between, just like you're having coffee or a margarita with your girlfriends. That's the kind of things that we're going to talk about on this show. Okay, so true life, I am coming to you live from Joey's closet. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw the life that I live. And normally I record at this co-working space that is kind of this in between because, you know, I'm part-time in the hospital. I'm part-time with doing my own thing with nutrition and fitness, and homegirl can't afford a giant office that I use, you know, 1 or 2 days a week. So I go to this cute little co-working space. It's great. Anyways, they've got this awesome kind of recording studio where it's all padded and it's super nice. And I normally record on Tuesdays, but because it's a co-working space, there just happened to be a Thanksgiving party that included with some really rowdy children singing karaoke to Let It Go. And you know, how are you supposed to interrupt something like that when Frozen 2 comes out this weekend? I wasn't going to be that lady. So that is why I am in the closet. And if you are an OG Fit Friends Happy Hour listener, you know this ain't the first time that I've recorded in Joey's closet. I actually started recording in his closet when we first started the podcast because I am one of six and my house was a revolving door and it was always so loud. So I would go over to his house while he would, you know, hang out with his friends and watch TV. I'd be the weirdo girlfriend who would be like, I'm going to go upstairs. I'll be in the closet. Just be quiet, please. So that's my life. But today's episode was actually inspired by one of my clients. I always ask my clients ahead of time, you know, I always have my own agenda, but at the end of the day, the sessions are for what they want and what they want to get out of that session and really what's on their mind and what's on their heart that they want to clear and talk about that day. So this week I had a client who, you know, has really been making some leaps, learning how to eat more intuitively, learning to really just get in tune with their body, let go of some of these diet rules and restriction, and just start to find more of that balance and not just food, but in all areas of her life. And the holidays are coming up. She's got a job where, you know, it does require her to be social in a lot of these different settings. And because, you know, we are still young, I guess that doesn't even matter whether you're young or not. A lot of these situations naturally involve alcohol. And at this different stage in your life, how do I incorporate this? You know, can I drink and eat intuitively? Can I drink intuitively? You know, what does that look like? And before I get into the tips, I really want to share, you know, my background and my story. If you listened to last week's episode, I shared my story about group fitness and I talked about, you know, those crazy college years. And I think a lot of us females, but also males, can relate to growing up maybe in a sheltered home where there were a lot of rules, a lot of, you lived under your parents' house, right? You had to follow by their rules. And then you get to college and it's like freedom. You go crazy and typical college student, you kind of get sucked into the party scene. And that was me, you know, once I turned 21, taking shots, running around Purdue until 3 a.m., you know, you end up eating a large order of cheesy bread with between two people. You wake up with a terrible hangover. And for me, what came out of that, right? It wasn't just that evening, but then, you know, the next day was spent waking up, forcing myself to go on a run, you know, forcing myself to sweat and work out and sit in a sauna and quote, detox and sweat it all out and then over-restrict the calories because I knew that I had, you know, consumed so much calories through food and alcohol that night that, well, okay, well, I need to punish myself and, you know, work it off in the gym. And really in college, at least for me, that became such a cycle, you know, with those party years because, you know, I would then plan ahead so much. I was part of a sorority and they always had this Fried Food Fridays. Shout out to sorority girls. If you're listening, you remember F3, Fried Food Fridays. But I planned ahead and I would not engage in that because I knew, well, I can't have all these fried foods because I'm probably going to be drinking later this evening and I'm going to be drinking my calories. So God forbid I eat them today. And it was like this vicious cycle. And, you know, we think of these kids in other countries, you know, in Europe, where the drinking age is like 18 and kids or teenagers, you know, have a glass of wine with their parents. And it's not this big off limits kind of thing. And I think a lot of those, you know, similar mindsets can transfer over to food. Now, you know, just like food, remember, everybody does have a different relationship with alcohol. And, you know, I don't want to undermine that at all. If you feel like alcohol is an issue for you, you know, maybe alcoholism runs in your family, you know, just know that you're not alone. And there's so many resources available. And I'm going to link some of those actually in the show notes for you. But, you know, I think in terms of food, right, we have these foods that are so off limits. And then when we get the opportunity to eat them, we go haywire. And, you know, maybe the same thing has been like that for alcohol for you, right? It's off limits. It's, you know, seen as forbidden. It's negative. It's got such terrible connotation to it that once you do drink, you go off the deep end. So imagine me, you know, restricting, having a major workout that morning. At the time, it was, you know, major workout, maybe teach a class after that, go to school all day, eat like a bird, you know, eat basically lettuce all day, and then go out and binge drink afterwards. You know, you can only imagine how drinking on a stomach of lettuce and rice cakes, like that's not helpful for anybody. So the holidays are coming up, right? We think, of course, rich foods, rich drinks, maybe eggnog, spiced cider. I know there's a special Christmas market here in Indy where they have this mulled wine, you know, mimosas, and just other rich foods around the holiday. And one thing that irks me just so much in the fitness industry is this idea of, you know, turkey burn, or we've got to burn off all these calories before we gorge ourselves on these big meals. And it almost already sets our minds up in society when holidays come around that holidays are meant for overeating and overdrinking. And so we're just going to compensate for that. And then, you know, what comes up in January, New Year's resolutions. And so even the maintain not gain type challenges, while they don't necessarily say weight loss, they just set this expectation like you're going to gain weight around the holidays. And I think for a lot of people, that can already trigger this anxiety that, okay, well, it's just a given that I'm going to overeat and I'm going to gain weight. And we see that stuff everywhere, especially in the gym type setting. I said this earlier, but remember, it is hard to compare alcohol to food because, you know, I think we cannot sit here and say, well, a drinking problem is the same as an eating disorder because these really are so different. But I think there are a lot of similarities as far as the decisions that we make and our mindset around both of these two things, alcohol and food. Both drinking and eating are considered a coping mechanism. You know, we eat and we drink for comfort. We eat and we drink for control. Maybe sometimes it's out of fear or anxiety, but it's a way to deal with the emotional feeling that we have. But with food and alcohol, we're taught from an early age to control and restrict both of these versus just enjoying and experiencing the two, especially in social type settings where it is so common. So let's dive right into these tips on how to, you know, drink more intuitively. So number one, I want you to ask yourself, what is triggering my desire to drink? Did you just get home from work? Are you nervous in social settings and maybe kind of holding something in your hand is just, it makes you feel more comfortable because you have something to do. You have something to, it's like kids with those fidget spinners. Is that what they're called? Where it just keeps them busy, right? It helps you feel kind of less anxious. Or do you really just want to enjoy the taste? Or are you like college Katie and you're just trying to get turned? Like you're trying to party, you're trying to live it up. So depending on your answer and how you identify what the desire is to drink, ask yourself, is there another way that I could cope? Is there another, maybe healthier way that I could deal with the stress? Do I get home from work and it's a trigger to drink a glass of wine because that's my way to unwind? Well, kind of like food, right? If you're doing that every once in a while, I don't think that's a big deal. But If that is your trigger every single day because you have a stressful job, I think it's something to really reconsider. And maybe it's not even the alcohol that you're looking for, right? What you're really looking for is that de-stress. So can you try some other things like going for a walk or scheduling a massage or painting your nails? Or I don't know about you, but that causes me way more stress doing my own nails because I always mess them up. It never fails. So maybe you go get a manicure. Maybe you cook dinner. Maybe you turn on your essential oils. I don't know. Figure out what the trigger is to drink and see if there's another way. Number two, ask yourself what rules you do have around alcohol. Do you consider it like your cheat meal where you are, quote, good all week? And then on Saturday or Friday or Saturday, you allow yourself to eat and drink whatever you want. Do you only drink vodka waters because of the calories and you completely avoid any fruity drinks or anything with sugar? Where do you have restrictions around alcohol? I think it's important to take this step when you are going through the intuitive eating process of, you know, telling yourself you can have any type of beverage regardless of the calories or the sugar content. You know, it's just like food. You've got to kind of ask yourself, what sounds good? What am I in the mood for? Because the same thing with alcohol, right? There's so many different varieties. In this client in particular, we talked about this, how, you know, sometimes if you're having a steak and a baked potato, like a glass of red wine sounds really nice with it. Or, you know, if you're having, I don't know, clearly I don't cook enough lately, but for example, the fall, there's a local bar around us in Indy that sells this pumpkin beer. And I love sitting down and enjoying a pumpkin beer because, you know, it's just the right amount. You can actually taste the flavors and they coat it with this like cinnamon sugar type rim. Think like a margarita, right? They coat it with salt. This one they coat with cinnamon sugar. And so I'm getting more satisfaction, more enjoyment drinking what I actually want to drink versus only drinking what fits in your control. Number three, did you eat? Like seriously though, don't be an idiot. You know, recognize that when we do drink, alcohol actually inhibits ghrelin. So it makes it a lot easier when you start drinking to ignore your hunger. And we've talked about this before. You know the process. When we ignore our hunger, guess what? It doesn't go away. It just catches up with us later. And that may lead you to overeat later. So if you drink on an empty stomach, you know, you may also end up on the porcelain throne or whatever you call that. And you're not going to feel well. So make sure that you are eating. You're not drinking on an empty stomach. You're eating something with substance to it. You're not just eating a salad, right? You've got something to, I guess, soak up the alcohol. I don't think that's the correct science term, but you know what I mean. And stay hydrated, right? If you know that you're going to be socializing later that evening, we'll just be a little bit more intentional about getting enough fluids in throughout the day. Lots of water, tea. Don't just drink straight coffee and not drink all day. Number four, I want to go back to the rules. I know I talked about asking about the different rules that you have around alcohol, but recognize that because alcohol makes you feel a certain type of way, you're probably going to eat pizza or another greasy type of food to end the night. And that's okay. Like that's normal, you know? So start to remove some of that guilt for when you do go out and have a few drinks and you do choose a late night food. Like recognize like sometimes that is a part of socializing. And let's be real, not many people after some beverages want carrots and celery sticks. Like that's just not realistic. So, you know, remove that guilt from yourself and start to normalize that because that is a huge step in this process of giving yourself grace and, you know, making peace with food is normalizing all these different areas in which we do enjoy food as well. You know, I actually look forward to this cute little Middle Eastern place that Joey and I found. We live downtown, so we like to walk around on the weekends. We love not having to drive our car. And what we like to do is sometimes we'll, you know, go out because we like to, you know, just people watch and get out on the town, as the young folks say. And we'll have a drink and we'll, you know, get an appetizer and or maybe a couple appetizers. We're going to try a new restaurant. And then we'll not save, but, you know, we don't want to get too full because we know that we want to go to Petra, this awesome place that has like falafel and baba ganoush, and it's so authentic and it's delicious. So we kind of make like an evening out of it where we appetizers, Petra, and a couple drinks, and it's great. And the last tip I have for you is to just trust yourself. trust your intuition. You know, if it feels wrong, if it feels like you're drinking too much, well, then it probably is, you know. So I think the biggest takeaway here is to just check in with yourself. Just like you do with food, check in with yourself. Where are your intentions? How do you feel about it? If it makes you feel crummy and not good, well, do something about it. And remember, it doesn't have to be drastic. It doesn't have to be this big declaration that, you know, I'm not drinking alcohol ever again. I'm removing all sugar. Like, don't make it a big deal. Just have that conversation with yourself, maybe with a close friend, or even better, hop on over to our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com and just search Fit Friends Tribe, you can request to join our Facebook group. We have weekly discussions on all the podcast episodes, and it's really a place to connect for situations like this. Like, realize that you're not alone in figuring this piece out. You know, your young 20s, 30s, depending where you're at. Like, it's this weird transition and you're figuring out all these things and what's socially right and acceptable, but at the same time, what feels right for me? Because at the end of the day, that's the key. That's the important part, is that you're putting yourself in the driver's seat of your health and your wellness and making the decisions that are right for you and nobody else. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you enjoyed this episode and you're on that process of becoming a more intuitive eater, learning to trust your body, I invite you to join our free sugar challenge. If you go to www.katiehake.com/sugar, you can join this challenge, and it's not a typical sugar challenge like you think. It's going to give you some tips, tools, and really an actionable challenge and takeaways to help you start implementing some of these intuitive tips into your daily life and stop obsessing over sugar. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.